Hello and welcome to another broadcast of Off Planet with Tony Green. I'm your host, Tony Green, bringing you an hour-long program about, well, different forms of information that you would never hear on the mainstream media. Things that I've found out in my research, and I'm quite happy to share them with you. The type of information that is challenging to a lot of people. It was challenging to me, and I went and did more research on the subject matter and found out all kinds of incredible things that were never told to me. In fact, the exact opposite was told to me. And I got into the habit of being a searcher, a question asker, a basic troublemaker, which has its place in society. It really does, because when the oyster gets a little piece of sand inside of its shell, it's sitting very quietly at the bottom of the bay, and it's itching, it's scratching, it's trying to get it out, then it wraps it up and finally creates. The pearl of wisdom, the pearl of knowledge, the pearl of strength, the pearl of fearlessness to go ahead and follow your instincts, listen to what your intuition says. And so much information that we're bombarded with today is all about keeping that intuition down, not listening to it at all. And one of those big killers of our intuition and even our whole bodies is something that I've always wanted to do a program about. It's something that's in my face, your face, every day, literally. It's one of those things like chemtrails that you see all the time, but nobody wants to really talk about the elephant in the room. And that elephant in the room that's in about every room that you ever go into now is some nasty thing called a cell phone. Right, the cell phone, it's killing all your cells, okay? The smartphone. Why is it called a smartphone? Because it's insinuating that you are stupid, and that's pretty much what it's about. It's about eventually that you get to the point that you realize that your brain, your own God-given brain, is irrelevant. Doesn't matter anymore, because in your hand is the cell phone, and it's extremely addicting. I live here in Italy, and man, those wonderful Italians, I'm watching the young generation and the older generation just be turned into zombies. It's the zombie apocalypse, okay? Let's do something to stop it, but let's talk about it right now. And I got a bunch of very interesting people that are going to share their thoughts about the cell phone, the smartphone, the iPhone, Facebook, all these things that are destroying us and disconnecting us.
This is a boot camp with no sweat and no tears, at least for the moment. The session, run by a civic group in Seoul, aims to show there's more to life than being online. These children are internet and smartphone addicts.
Smartphone addiction is not only talking about children playing a lot with their smartphones, but causing conflicts in their families.
About 70% of South Koreans have smartphones, believed to be the highest penetration rate in the world. It's estimated that one in five teenagers is an addict. Park Song-hee, like many parents here, says she has problems communicating with her two children. My kids play games on their smartphones until bedtime. Sometimes when I go check on them at night, the smartphones are still running in the dark. Her son spends 4 hours a day online and doesn't see what the problem is.
When I'm not playing games, my mom still yells at me for playing them. She doesn't even allow me to go on the internet, which makes me mad.
Campaigners say some teenagers resort to violence and self-harm when their smartphones are confiscated. The government's now asking schools to extend their no-phone policy and organize holiday boot camps to try to wean students off their dependency. But some warn against overstating the problem and demonizing technology.
I don't believe humanity will vanish because nobody in the future will be talking to anybody else because of IT devices.
South Korea is proud of his high-tech prowess and Seoul's reputation as the most wired city on the planet. But many are now asking whether the price they are paying is too high.
I've made many videos about smartphone addiction and the negative effects of social media on our society because the two are now irrevocably intertwined. I woke up yesterday morning, I got on the train to work, and I took a look around me. I saw people zombified on their phones. About 25% of people were engrossed in their handsets. Now, to be fair, this seems perfectly fine. It's no different to people reading newspapers or books on public transport. But as we all know, there's something a mite more sinister about the smartphone phenomenon. There's a little game I want you to play. It's called Spot the Smartphone User. The next time you go anywhere, and I mean anywhere, down the street to your nearest city or town, whether you're stuck in traffic, in a restaurant, pub, cinema, in the park, or in the gym, I want you to count how many people are either on their smartphone, holding their smartphone, or talking on their smartphone. I mean, people really can't be separated from them. It's like an extra limb. Once you are primed to see people with blank expressions on their faces, heads down, their grip tightly fastened to these rectangular devices, you will never be able to go back to not noticing this. And I guarantee you, you'll find it just a little bit disturbing. Now, it's clear that smartphones are an amazing piece of technology of science fiction proportions. From software to hardware, they're all-round genius. And the devices themselves are not the problem. It's what they do to their users. It's the addictive features and the applications that are the problems. The detrimental impact they have on concentration levels, social skills, and the anxiety experienced from dependency on them. Now, when I've raised this issue before, there has been some people who have disagreed with me, which is fine. It's a free world, and I respect everyone's opinion. I've been criticized for being a Luddite, and when I took this argument to an extreme, citing a potential Orwellian dystopian nightmare world from the development of products like Google Glass, I received many comments saying that I was being hypocritical because I was using the very technology I was bashing. So I'd like to address this concern. I love technology and have done since I saw my first Star Trek episode. I'm a big fan of what the technology can do for us, but not a fan of what it does to us. In my criticism of the convergent technologies of smartphones, social media, and Google Glass, I was not also lumping in all other technologies with them. To believe that that was my intention is an oversimplification of my original argument. My iMac allows me to create videos and be creative. Facebook is a place where people effectively live in a virtual reality world removed from their lives. I'd also like to take my justification for this reasoning a little bit further. I really fear for the future, the children being born now, digital natives as they are known. They will never know what it's like to live in a world without smartphones or iPads, which again, in itself, isn't a problem. I don't know what it's like to live in a world without the motor car, microwave, cooker, dishwasher, vacuum cleaner, radio, or the television. But I don't get cravings to sit in my car or use my microwave. I don't become anxious in public or when in conversation with a friend in a restaurant that maybe I should go home and microwave some popcorn in a manner similar to how an addicted smartphone Facebook user would rudely pick up their phone in mid-conversation to check if someone had liked an inane comment they'd made about what they're eating at that moment. When people say to me, "Dave, you're leveling the same arguments at smartphones and Facebook as previous generations have towards the mass consumerization of television television or any other form of entertainment. Again, this is an absolutist interpretation of what I'm saying. I don't have any problem with any of these products, but it's important to make a critical distinction here. Facebook is not entertainment like television or radio before it. It's supposedly a form of communication and socializing. And as I said before, a great many people are using it to replace real-world interaction. They're using Twitter hashtags to begin conversations with their friends that they really should have in a more fulfilling and meaningful way in person. Now, television, cars, and microwaves contribute their fair share to pollution, but besides that, they aren't a big problem in how we socialize. We should absolutely invent machines to do boring, painful, or dangerous physical labor, or to carry out number-crunching tasks. But I don't think we should invent machines to replace our social abilities. If we do, think about what's left. What's left of our humanity if we lose the very things that make us flesh and blood? To quote Sherry Turkle in her TED talk Alone Together, "Not that long ago, we were trying to figure out how we would keep computers busy. Now we know that once we networked with each other, once computers were our portal to being with each other, we really don't have to worry about keeping computers busy. They keep us busy. It's kind of as though we are their killer app." It seems that people are as busy now as CEOs of corporations were 20 years ago. I mean, does the average Joe really need a personal organizer app to manage their daily lives? There's so much distraction, so many online social media services to be invested in. The remaining bandwidth for your attention is very small. Furthermore, smartphones have also blurred the lines between work and home. Many companies now expect their employees to check work emails while commuting at home, after hours, or on weekends, because they can, and employees feel the need to do it in order to either look busy or deal with their increasing workloads. The problem with this is, although it may make people initially fairly productive, over time, when this unwritten rule becomes a requirement, personal time will be a relative term. The employee will be given more work, and the added advantage that they gain from being able to respond to client and customer emails or do work from home will be gone. Technology is an excellent means of communication, but there's a big difference between communicating and socializing. When you see all these people compulsively reaching for their smartphones when driving a car or walking down the street, occasionally glancing upwards to check if they're going to bump into someone, you get the sense that the next logical step is the integration of this technology into their bodies. Already, smartphones are kind of part of people. Google Glass and devices like it will bring the technology and social media even closer to them. Ocular implants, or maybe even brain chips of the 22nd century, will take this further again. And if you think I'm being overdramatic, just look at where we were 40 years ago in computing terms. Go back just 10 years ago, or 15 years ago. No one could have predicted the advancements we've made. The next generation could be enslaved to social networks for their emotional validation. How cut off from reality do people need to become before we recognize there's a problem? The degradation of the meaning of the word friend and the devaluation of face-to-face communication, this is what we've already experienced. The consumer technology sector is booming, so it's easy to justify its continued growth, and as long as it makes money, we'll continue on down this road for the foreseeable future. I can completely empathize with someone who says that if they leave their mobile phone at home, they will feel anxious because they won't be able to contact someone in an emergency. I totally get that. It's a very useful tool and a hard one to dispense with. I have a big problem, however, when someone says that they would feel anxious about leaving their phone at home because they won't be able to stay connected with people on social media, a place where the level of interaction is incredibly shallow. It's troubling to think that people can't go extended periods without being able to receive likes, pluses, hearts, posts, and retweets. The problem with making any kind of argument or putting forward an idea on the internet, and especially YouTube, is that people believe that you want your opinion to be 100% vindicated and you won't accept being wrong, even if you are. You will be close-minded and only accept evidence that supports your argument. You'll only listen to studies and research that you want to believe to be true. It's basically confirmation bias. Hell, there's even a like or dislike button for people to effectively vote if they agree with you or not. realistically, I don't have much ego invested in this. Believe me, there is no one who wants to be more wrong about this potential future than I do. I'm merely raising my concerns in the hopes that people recognize the negative effects of the ubiquitous technologies of the digital interconnected age. If I go to bed tonight and slip into a coma to awake 30 years from now and find that all is right with the world and smart devices, ocular implants and cyborg-like technologies didn't drive humanity into enslavement and social degradation, I will be genuinely ecstatic, although rather bummed at now being 60 years old. So as a result of this, I've decided enough is enough. I have no problems with smartphones or people who use them, but would like to exert my own control over how I interact with the internet and not the other way around. I've purchased a new phone, a non-smartphone. That's right, I'm downgrading from my iPhone to a Nokia 113, because when I walk down the street, I'd like to see where I'm going.
I have 422 friends, yet I'm lonely. I speak to all of them every day, yet none of them really know me. The problem I have sits in the spaces between, looking into their eyes or at a name on a screen. I took a step back and opened my eyes. I looked around and realised that this media we call social is anything but when we open our computers and it's our doors we shut. All this technology we have, it's just an illusion. Community, companionship, a sense of inclusion. Yet when you step away from this device of delusion, you awaken to see a world of confusion. A world where we're slaves to the technology we mastered, where information gets sold by some rich, greedy bastard. A world of self-interest, self-image, self-promotion, where we all share our best bits but leave out the emotion. We're at our most happy with an experience we share, but is it the same if no one is there? Be there for your friends, and they'll be there too, but no one will be if a group message will do. We edit and exaggerate, crave adulation. We pretend not to notice the social isolation. We put our words into order until our lives are glistening. We don't even know if anyone is listening. Being alone isn't a problem. Let me just emphasise, if you read a book, paint a picture, or do some exercise, you're being productive and present, not reserved and recluse. You're being awake and attentive and putting your time to good use. So when you're in public and you start to feel alone, put your hands behind your head, step away from the phone. You don't need to stare at your menu or at your contact list. Just talk to one another, learn to coexist. I can't stand to hear the silence of a busy commuter train where no one wants to talk through the fear of looking insane. We're becoming unsocial. It no longer satisfies to engage with one another and look into someone's eyes. We're surrounded by children who, since they were born, have watched us living like robots and think it's the norm. It's not very likely you'll make world's greatest dad if you can't entertain a child without using an iPad. When I was a child, I'd never be home. Be out with my friends on our bikes we would roam. I'd wear holes in my trainers and graze up my knees. We'd build our own clubhouse high up in the trees. Now the park's so quiet it gives me a chill. See no children outside and the swings hanging still. There's no skipping, no hopscotch, no church and no steeple. We're a generation of idiots, smartphones and dumb people.
The number you have dialed has been changed. The new number is... Please note, the new number is...
The greatest threat to health in this millennium is wireless technologies, without a doubt. What do I mean by wireless technologies? Well, wireless technologies are microwave ovens, cell phones, baby monitors, and Bluetooth. If you look at the health of the cell, the most important thing about the cell is a cellular membrane. And there's receptocytes on the cellular membrane. And these receptocytes literally keep bacteria out, viruses out, and they keep microwaves out. And what happens is when the microwaves start to come into the cell, the receptocytes shut down. And it's literally saying, stay out because you're toxic. What happens though is we're exposed to the wireless forever. We drive along the highway, we encounter cell phone towers, we use our cell phones, we use computers. There's people that talk in restaurants and on airplanes, and everybody has cell phones. So the problem is you can't escape the wireless. So here's what happens. Insensitive people, and there's a lot of sensitive people out there, we're seeing a lot of chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia syndromes. We have no idea why they're caused. They're caused by electropollution. Because after the cells become shut down from the wireless, when they shut down, They don't allow the wireless to come in, but they keep hormones out, they keep vitamins out, they keep minerals out, and waste products stay in the cell. So the cell ages prematurely. When that happens, there's an influx of bacteria, we call them microbes, into the cell. And then the voltage of the cell goes down and it becomes sick. This is why our bodies get sick. Heavy metals will do it, trans fats will do it, chemicals will do it, but wireless is the number one cause of inflammation of these cells. And when this happens, people get sick. So they go to the doctor saying, oh, I'm wireless. No, they don't say that. They come in and say, I have headache. I have chronic fatigue syndrome. My muscles are screaming. I have no energy. I have heart disease. I have cancer. This is what the wireless causes over time. How do you fix it? Awareness is curative. You must determine if you're being exposed to wireless. How do you find out? Well, here in this table, I have an electrosmog detector. I'm being photographed right now and I'm being mic'd. And this is the background. Look what happens when I bring my mic. That's a wireless, folks. Now, that's pretty bad. I don't have it next to my heart. I have it, you know, close to my body, but it's not affecting my internal organs. Down here, it's affecting me, and you can hear that. But that's a wireless device. Now, if I was lecturing in front of you in the audience, I certainly would not put this next to my heart, which a lot of people do. As a heart specialist, you're treading dangerous waters. Now, what else does the wireless affect? Well, certainly the phones. Now, I have a sort of a healthy phone here, and I'll try to make a call on this phone. And I'm going to make this call. And the call's going through. You can hear it. This is next to your ear. This is 3 feet away. This is a healthy phone. So if I use a speakerphone here, I'm getting a little radiation. But if I put it up to here, I'm getting a lot of radiation. This is an unhealthy phone. You can hear it. This is radiation. Now, look, I can't get away from this phone. My arms need to be 60 feet long to get away from this. This whole room is being toxic. I gotta shut this off. I'm shutting this off, basically, because this is poisoning my body and everybody in the room. If your monitor is showing a 3G, that's a healthy wireless network. If it's showing an E or an edge, I call that evil. Do not accept a phone call. Do not use your phone. Get away from it. There is research to show that cell phones are the most common cause of tinnitus. What is tinnitus? It's ringing in the ears. The most common cause of deafness. And in Europe, cell phones are outlawed in the Scandinavian countries because scientists have determined that in children ages 5 to 18 have a much higher incidence of brain cancer than their age-controlled counterparts. So, how can you protect yourself in the wireless? Number one, be aware. Be aware that it's in the environment. Remember, you can't see it, you can't feel it. Take supplements like vitamin C, nattokinase. Text. All my kids text me messages. I don't want to talk to them on a cell phone. I don't want them to get the radiation, and I don't want the radiation. But look, if you have to use a cell phone, and we have to use them, don't place it next to your ear. Put it on a speakerphone. Speak 30 inches away. Talk this way. The hand's going to get a little radiation, but it's not going to go into your brain. And remember, the younger the person, the more radiation into the brain. So you mothers out there who have toddlers next to you, who are pushing toddlers in a carriage, and you're on the phone, and this phone's out here, it's going into your children. So again, awareness is curative.
And talking about nothing and making them sexy sounds. And in the meantime and in between time, I'm down here on the ground. Well, now, I'm not complaining about what's pertaining to my present status quo, but things getting hard. Oh my God, inflation. I know you know. Listen, now just yesterday, I'd like to say, before I got out of my bed, now I was already tired on the for real side and a few bills I forgot to pay. Now my phone rang and the cute little girl began to sing this tune. She said,
said, Mr. Watson, I'd like to inform you your phone gets turned off at noon. Now that came to me as no surprise, cause last week I went up the coast. I met a cute little girl that was all the way live, and calling her I thought was the most. She had them great big eyes, them great big legs, and that gave my body a chill. So you know I never thought about the cost of no a telephone bill. So I just kept on rapping, my hands kept clapping, having myself a ball. You know, it slipped my mind every same time I was making a long distance call. So now day before yesterday, I was running through the pharmacy just making them calls and hollers. And I picked up the envelope that contained my bill. Guess what? $500. Now the next time I call this big leg cutie to make myself a date, I'm gonna call that girl way after 9 and get me the evening rate. Now I ain't gonna tell her, I ain't telling her nothing, blow my front thing. But it'll be way, way, way after 9 when she hear her telephone ring. Ring it, ring it, ring that telephone. Ring it, ring it, ring that telephone. I said, ring it, have yourself a thrill. And when you ring it, watch your phone bill. Now I paid the bill and the deal was real and my talking resumed and all. I said, from now on, pal, I'm gonna stick to my local calls. Now a few weeks passed and I was just gassed. You know what I'm talking about. I said, when I got the bill, the figure was so low, I was impressed. Knocked me out. Now shortly thereafter, something stopped my laughter. I was outside digging in the yard. I heard a ding and I heard a dong. It was the phone. Ooh, my Lord. Said, I dropped my shovel and my body I leveled and I made me a 100-yard dash. And then I straightened up my clothes and I blew my nose through a Kleenex in the trash. I composed myself and I picked up the phone and I was still kind of huffing and puffing. I heard the operator say, would you accept a collect call? I said, ain't that nothing? But I was just cool because, you know, I didn't want to be no fool. And see, I didn't know it was. It was the big black cutie from up the coast telling me that she was in love. Now for 3 whole minutes I planned to talk. Now y'all know I ain't never lied. But in love or not, I planned to stop when that 3rd minute arrived. Now when 3 minutes passed, it occurred to me, oh, she might talk a week. I said, I'm sorry, baby, but I gotta go. She was a telephone freak. She said, oh, Johnny, talk a little longer with you. I'm so in love. I said, I know where you're coming from. I can dig it. I got to go rehearse at the club. She said, well, if you got to go rehearse, I'll call you later. It's something I got to tell you. It's on my mind. I said, well, yeah, okay, baby. You can call me back anytime after 9. Ring it, ring it, ring that telephone. Why don't you ring it? Ring it, ring that telephone. And when you ring it, ring it, have yourself a thrill. And ring it, and watch your phone bill.
Oh yeah, how can you not like that? That's my boy Johnny Guitar Watson, a little telephone bill blues, and we've all been there for sure, for sure. But you know, that telephone blues is getting more of a thing that's just destroying our society. And you know, the brain cancer that's going to be breaking out soon, if it's not here already, because children, you know, young children are already using the cell phone, putting it next to their little craniums, which are paper thin. And those, you know, the microwaves from the cell phone is doing so much damage. And I don't know, man. You know, it really does seem like it just separates everybody. And I know people that are literally addicted. I mean, the question is, dude, when you wake up in the morning, do you hit the toilet first or you hit the cell phone? And there's a sheepish grin, and, you know, I know what the answer is to that. It ain't about the toilet. It's about getting back to your addiction. And there's a reason for this, okay? It's much deeper than just getting people to buy this technology. It's about society enslavement. It's about divide and conquer, like so many other things. And the dependency that is caused by this is really going to be a problem. And what's going to, it's going to shift into the microchip after this. Because Brad Pitt got the microchip, or, you know, Peyton Manning got the microchip. And so sometimes I think, you know, I'm glad I'm not going to be around for the next generation, because, my God, it's going to be this cashless microchip society, and those little microchips are going to put the whole internet into your body, so that you're going to think, wow, man, I'm going to be some sort of superhuman, because I'll have access to all the information that's on the internet. It's infinite. It's all going to be in my brain. And I'm going to be this superhuman being. But no, you're not going to be a superhuman being. You're going to be a super robot. And it's going to be the end of all your compassion and empathy, all those things that make us human. I mean, I need to go, because I make my living as a painter. I'm an artist and old school. Landscape painter, etc. I tell you, after spending time on the computer, let's say like doing a show like this, I need to go outside and draw, or just draw inside, or look at nature, so that I can clear all those pixels out of my brain and get the other side, my right-hand part of my brain, functioning again, so I can be a human. So it's about dehumanization of the population. That's the bigger picture of it. And they're doing a pretty doggone good job, but there is a great renaissance happening of people awakening to what this agenda is. And I'm going to let you hear from some folks on that subject of dehumanization and the satanic agenda that seems to be behind all of this. And if you listen to my other programs, I go into depth about the satanic elements, what the global elite are into, and how they are using that to further the demise of humanity. Anyway, let's see what this fellow's got to say about this.
I wanted to talk about the Illuminati's agenda to use the Apple Computer Company to brainwash the masses in preparation for the transhumanist evolution. Now, before I talk about that, I just want to point out some obvious signs that show that the Apple Computer Company is a sinister company being used in the Illuminati agenda to prepare the Antichrist kingdom. So the first thing that you just need to do is look at the logo. It's an apple, and there's a bite out of it. So what are they trying to say and symbolize with this logo? If you look at the official story, you're never going to get the truth. We're dealing with satanic secret societies. They keep everything secret. And if they expose those secrets, in fact, they die. So it is a very highly secretive organization. So they're not going to come out publicly and say, yeah, our logo is the forbidden fruit from the Garden of Eden that brought death and destruction and sin into the world. But they see it as enlightenment. So this is a symbol from Apple Computer of satanic Luciferian enlightenment, that godhood can be achieved by a bite out of the forbidden fruit. And this is what all these people are walking around with, their little iPhones, and on the back of it is a symbol of Genesis, the forbidden fruit, the fall of mankind, on the back of our phones. But people are brainwashed, they don't even see this. They can even go back and look at the first Mac computer being sold for $666. You think that's a coincidence? Bite into the knowledge for 666? Do you not see the symbolism here that's hidden right in front of your face, and they're just laughing at you? I mean, they use this symbol for the forbidden fruit. They use the number of the beast. According to the Bible, that number is 666. If that's the number of the beast, wake up, people. This company is using the forbidden fruit as a logo, sells its first computer for $666, then goes around calling its products iPod, iPhone, iPad, iThis, iThat. And we obviously know that the Illuminati use the Eye of Ra as symbolism. So it's no surprise that all their products start with I. And we have the forbidden fruit on the back of it. And the first one sold for $666. Right, this is all coincidence. Right. Also, a Apple store was built in the shape of a pyramid, and we all know that they love their pyramid. Novus Ordo Seclorum, the new world order of the Illuminati, this secret society, this organization, the secret cabal of Luciferians. They also use the cube, and if you're familiar with Saturn worship, which is something that the Illuminati are into, you know that that's a huge symbol for them. So, in recapping, we have the cube of Saturn being used as symbolism, we have the pyramid being used as symbolism, the first Mac computer was just coincidentally sold for the number of the beast, 666, all their products are named iPhone, iPad, iThis, and, like, come on, you just saw what I present, come on, people, wake up. Now, here's the thing, we're dealing with such massive conditioning and brainwashing in society that people will still see this information and be willingly ignorant. They will stick their head in the sand and they will not want to see what's actually happening. And that is because the Bible is true. The God of this world, who is Satan, has deceived the minds and brainwashed the masses so that they cannot see the truth. Although they see in the physical, they cannot see in the spiritual, and that is why they can't see the obvious signs that they are living in what the Bible says is a fallen world that is under the power of Satan. They don't see these satanic symbols and messages absolutely everywhere. Come on, people, wake up. Okay, so now, why would the Illuminati desire to use technology? Well, you have to understand their agenda. They are trying to become like God. They want to become God. That was what man set out to do when man turned against God and obeyed Lucifer. So what I'm going to do in the description section here is leave a good video that really explains in details the Illuminati transcendence, transhumanist agenda, which is basically in the movie here, they show you that Johnny Depp tries to wire his consciousness with technology. So he becomes one. He's the first human to achieve singularity, which is the merger of artificial intelligence with human consciousness. This is what the elite want to do. They want to, as you can see, they've been brainwashing the masses with this Darwinian evolution model, which is a lie. And it begs the questions, what's next then in the evolution? Well, they're going to offer it. It's called transcendence, the singularity, becoming godlike through merger with technology so that we become cybernetic gods. This is the Illuminati's final agenda. So isn't it ironic that if they're going to offer through technology to man the ability to be all-knowing, to have all knowledge, because you'll be able to just tune into your microchip in your brain and you'll be connected to the entire internet through your brain, so you're going to be all-knowing, supposedly you won't die, so you're going to be eternal. Come on, they're trying to become gods. That's what they're doing, and the Bible said that they were on this satanic, evil, hell-bent mission, this psychotic mission to become God. So they're trying to do it through technology, and you got to start researching transhumanism if you're going to understand where this is all going, how the Illuminati are going to use this company to make us desire it. And we already see it. Everyone's loving this technology. I mean, look at this guy. He wants to merge with his iPhone. He's already wants to be a transhumanist. I bet he'd be first in line to take the chip or the brain chip or whatever implant or DNA modification. If we just look right now, we see an absolute obsession being created by this company for their technological advancement. This is something we should be worried about. I mean, look at how people are literally just staying there all day and all night just for this technology. All day and all night, I bet people are going to be waiting for the mark of the beast. This technological advancement and evolution that's going to be offered, people will be lining up to get it, just like everyone today is lining up to get iPhones. This is the preparation to accept the final delusion, the transhumanist evolution that is going to be offered. Another thing I want to point out is the new smartphone that's being introduced is also preparing the masses to accept the mark of the beast. Now, the mark of the beast, it's not necessarily going to be just the microchip. I do believe that the microchip could be a part of it. I think there's a very deep spiritual component that goes to it. There's a lot more that the scriptures are saying than merely having a simple microchip. But it's definitely part of it because it's going to have you wired into this artificial beast system that's going to be created, this artificial intelligence, which essentially Satan will possess. I truly believe that AI is being created in the world so that Satan's consciousness or spirit can can possess it. And this is what the elite are trying to birth, this artificial system where Lucifer can then start controlling people and artificially just have control over this world, because he wants to be like God. He wants to be in people's minds and controlling people, and, well, he wants to be more than just God. He wants to be God and an evil God on top of that. But this is preparation for us putting in the microchip. If you look, I mean, the microchip is going to be on your hand, and what they're doing here is having you start to get used to that area as an area, because this phone or this smartphone slash watch you can actually use to pay stuff. So there's going to be a pay wave option, and this is very important because we have to understand that they're going to introduce these things in increments. It's not just going to come overnight that people will accept these things. It's kind of like money, what they're doing with money. Before, it was basically just cash. At one point in society, we had cash. Now the elite Illuminati had an agenda to remove cash from us, and they still do. They want a cashless society where everyone's microchip. So this is how they do it. They start us off, we're on cash, then they introduce, you know, bank cards. And then now, okay, we don't have cash, we have bank cards. Well, then on the bank card after that, there was a little chip. Okay, and then after you have the little chip on the card, so they got us starting to get used to using chips, then the chip now can be waived, just like the phone can be waived. So eventually, I mean, why not just get the chip, right? You see, because they're going to introduce these things in increments over decades. They're going to bring these things into existence. So we need to be vigilant as they take these steps in that direction to open us up to accepting this transhumanist Illuminati agenda.
Transhumanism, if you listen to people like Kurzweil, you are told that transhumanism, putting technology inside the body, what they're calling implantables, will make us superhuman. No, it won't. It will make us super robots. It will make us super subhuman. And so what is happening, and I go into this in The Phantom Self in some detail, and the chapter I write about this, I think, is the most important chapter I've ever written in any book. We're seeing what I call the totalitarian tiptoe of assimilating human minds into technology. It's one major, major stepping stone to this is what is now a global addiction to smartphone technology, where we're losing the young generation. It's rewiring the brain. It's dumbing down the brain. But it's an addiction. If you are an alcoholic, who controls you? The alcohol. If you're a drug addict, who's the controller? The drug. If you are an addict of technology, who controls you? The technology. This is bringing the humans in and technology together. And they went from smartphones, and they've now gone to what they call wearables. These are the Bluetooth in the ear. These are the Google Glass, and these are the Apple Watches. And the next stage, and they're pushing this along faster and faster because they have to get this done before enough people awaken. This guy, Ray Kurzweil, this Google executive who is the spokesman for Frankenstein, he has said that not too far into what we call the future, that most human thinking will be done from the cloud. And what he's referring to, although he won't tell you, of course, for obvious reasons, is something I've been writing about in the books for years. What we're looking at is what I've been writing about for years, what I call the technological sub-reality. That's what he's calling the cloud. It's a Wi-Fi, if you like, a massive Wi-Fi cloud, a massive Wi-Fi technological sub-reality in the region of the planet that humans live in. It will be doing the thinking. And the chapter I write in Phantom Self is called Transphantomism. And I call it that because I've talked about Phantom Self and I am my name, I'm my life story, I'm my color, I'm my race, I'm my religion. No, your infinite awareness having that experience. And it's taken even that level of the program, what I call Phantom Self, it's designed to take it into a whole new level of thought and perception control. And so we need to get our asses in gear in 17 and 18, and start to realize that this has to be the focus of our lives because our lives won't exist. Well, it's an assimilation, it's not just happening in the world that we see. I explain in Phantom Self in some detail how we're being assimilated through nanotechnology. People should look on the internet and get up to date with something they're calling smart dust or neural dust. See, I've talked about the body being a biological computer. Because it's a biological computer, it can interact with other forms of technology. And what is happening when you see that bionic eye story, et cetera, and there are, you know, on the face of it, they're good things. And for the people that benefit from one or two of these things, it is a good thing. But that's not what the main thing is all about. It's about assimilating our perception and our consciousness and taking over our thinking completely. And so what they're doing is creating, and this is the word to watch for, synthetic. They're creating a synthetic everything. We are being systematically made more and more synthetic by breathing in nanotechnology that's coming out of chemtrails, for instance. And nanotechnology is not only affecting humans, it's affecting the environment. They're now developing synthetic cells. They're now developing synthetic blood. This is the thing, synthetic. It's creating a new human, which is not like humans were before. You know, if people want to stop this, then they first have to reject completely transhumanism. I mean, it's a simple question for people with half a brain. Why would a elite that has spent so much time controlling humans and suppressing humans and limiting humans want to make us superhuman. I mean, hello? What they want to do is to make us beyond human, to become synthetic computer terminals on their technologically generated web. And you know, I've talked to you before about the plan is, and I think it's already there personally, to make the internet conscious. And what are they talking about? We keep being told, Alex, all the time, you've just mentioned it, AI, artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence this, artificial intelligence that. Artificial intelligence will take over this. We'll have smart cities run by artificial intelligence. We'll have cars run by artificial intelligence. But this is the question, which I answer in the book. What is that artificial intelligence? What is it? What controls it? I would suggest very strongly, and I produce evidence in the book, that this artificial intelligence is this non-human force that's been manipulating humanity for a very long time. They're building the vehicle, they're building the technological vehicles for this artificial intelligence, i.e. not human intelligence, to take over the whole shebang, including the human mind. I would say the artificial intelligence I'm talking about runs the elite. They're just vehicles. They're also vehicles for this artificial intelligence I'm talking about. So this is what we're looking at, and this is why I say, Alex, that 16, 17, 18 are so absolutely vital, is because they are now going to try to go into overdrive and steroid states to bring in this. Assimilation through the transhumanism as fast as possible. This is just talking about chips, but there's a story on my website today that I came across. We have some sausages in this country called Richmond sausages, right? Richmond sausages are now giving away chips, tracking chips with their sausages, because they think it's a good play on words partly, for children to put on their toys. And it's the most blatant conditioning and preparation for young people and kids today to find chipping humans to be perfectly, this is the way things are, perfectly natural. It's worth mentioning this, and I kind of indicated earlier that our generations that have been here long enough to see what was before this extreme of madness are so important. Because when you're born into the world, you tend to accept the world and what you find as, well, this is how it is. To you, it's normal. To someone like me born in the 1950s, looking at what's happening now, it ain't normal to me. It's a form of insanity. But for people born into this world, it's their normal. And what they're doing is they're conditioning kids to have the agenda, the cloud, the transhumanist control, and that is the hive mind. The hive mind is the cloud. That's what it's supposed to be. It's their normal. And so what our generations need to do is to point out at every opportunity that it ain't normal and why it's not normal. What we need to do to overcome this, I've been saying for years, you can either find a solution to something or you can remove the cause of the problem. And clearly, the cause of the problem can be identified by how and where this system wants to take us. It wants to take us from even the present program, that where we self-identify with color, race, religion, name, history, and all that stuff, to the next stage, which is the transphantomist stage of control through hive mind technological cloud. In other words, to control us, they need to constantly limit to our perception and ability to think and perceive. To remove the cause of the problem, we have to remove that. And to do that, we need another self-identity to go beyond phantom self, never mind trans phantom self, and see what we and realize what we really are. We are awareness, a state of being aware. Forget bodies, forget form, forget it all. They are hijacking our point of attention. You can be the ocean. You can open your mind to awareness, insight, inspiration that is literally infinite. And when you do that, you look at this world and it is an open book. Or you can disconnect from the ocean, which is what all this is about, and become the droplet, disconnected from the ocean. When you put the droplet back in the ocean, where does the droplet end and the ocean start? It's all one ocean. Yeah, but if you pull the droplet out of the ocean, you isolate it, and suddenly people in that state, and that's most people because of the programming, instead of getting their insight, their inspiration, their intuitive knowing, they're seeing through the lies from higher forms or levels of their own awareness, not some alien in a spaceship, their own awareness, they get so concentrated in the five senses that the only way that they can look to get a fix on who they are and the nature of the world is out into the world. And what comes back? The point being that if we're going to get out of this, and we are, but it's a massive challenge, is we've got to reverse that process of going into more and more narrow bands of perception, awareness, and possibility to coming out to our true self. And that is to say that I'm not, who are you? Who are you? I'm David Icke, born in Leicester in 1952. I was a footballer, then I did this, then I did that. No, that's my experience. Who am I? Who are you? Who is everyone? Infinite awareness having an experience. But what the game is, and transphantomism, transhumanism is the big next stage of the game, almost the end game, is to so isolate our point of attention within this reality that we can access no other point.
Now you hear from David Icke, a guy who's trailblazed a lot of ways of thinking and looking at the world and coming up with outrageous information. It's worth investigating. He's a guy worth checking out, David Icke. But meanwhile, back here on planet Earth, we're all just going about our daily business, trying to make it for our families, our communities, keeping ourselves in good shape, good health. It pays to be awake and aware. It's the only way to be, you know? Then, because when you can see the lies, you can start to see the truth. And when you can see the truth, you become a really dangerous person, but you also become a real asset to your community because you get together with other truth seekers. You bond. You bond and you build. And what do you build? A strong community of people that are awake and aware. And what do we do with this wake and awareness? Well, we prepare ourselves for the future so that we can be part of it in such a wonderfully positive way and understand that technology is not our enemy. It is something that can take us to other planets, take us to other galaxies. That's what we're meant to be. We are the star people. We are the extraterrestrials. That's who we are. And we're destined for that. We're destined for greatness. We are already great, no matter what anybody tells you. So, thanks for tuning in to Tony Green with Off Planet with Tony Green, a session I do for 1 hour trying to bring you what I think is important information, and I ask you to share it with your friends so that we can all continue to be more enlightened. And of course, if you disagree, please email me. So if you want to know my information, go to my website, www.tonygreen.net, and there you'll see all my paintings, my watercolors, oil paintings, murals, etc. And I'm also a musician that played this music called Gypsy Jazz. That's me playing in the background off my CD, Tony Green Gypsy Jazz, a little ditty called Zingano, which is a Hungarian tune. So I make my living as a self-made man. trying to find out what's going on in this world. And I love doing this program. I love reaching out. And as I say, we are here for the benefit of others. So let's keep that up. So tune in again for Off Planet with Tony Green. Go to my website, www.tonygreen.net. Look at my paintings. You listen to my music. And I hope to have you around again for another episode of Off Planet with Tony Green. Okay, bye-bye. Ciao, 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 ciao.